The first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 52, starting at verse 7. You can find this in your church Bibles on page 740. Verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will bear his holy arm in the sight of all nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from the Gospel of John, starting at chapter 1, verse 1. On page 1063 in the Bible in the pews. John 1, 1. The world became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man who is coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which is his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Do please be seated. This is the nearest I'll get to being the fairy on top of the Christmas tree, I suspect. But if I fall off, it's because I'm standing on a hassock. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, may your word speak now through my words, and may all our hearts be open to receive it, to the glory of your name. Amen. We all like good news, don't we? We probably don't get enough of it these days. How often do folk say, do you want the good news first or the bad news first? It's almost as if we can't have good news unless it's caveated by something that isn't quite so good. The reverse, in fact, of every cloud has a silver lining. I can say I used to sell good news. How come, you might say? I can assure you it wasn't by sitting in a tent at the village fair holding a crystal ball and telling gullible folk what was going to happen in the next week or the next year. But my aunt ran a confectionery and tobacconist shop, and she used to sell boxes of Macintosh's Good News chocolates. Thank you, Ian. I don't know whether that takes some of you back or not, but they're not around these days. These chocolates were introduced in 1960 as a rival to Roundtree's Black Magic, and they ceased to be produced in 1988. So clearly it wasn't good news that lasted, was it? And apparently, and I didn't know this, but then why should I? The Beatle George Harrison wrote a song called Savoy Truffle, which apparently was inspired by Eric Clapton eating these Good News chocolates. And if you listen to Savoy Shuffle, and I didn't manage to listen to all of it, the words of the song actually refer to some of the selection in that box. It's really quite bizarre. But what a difference is that to the good news we're thinking of this morning. Surely that doesn't come with dismal caveats or a time-limited production line. So, Ian, if you could swap on to the next slide, which is a little more of the better good news. So what's it all about? Let's start with that wise man, Isaiah. So it's page, I think, 739 or 740 in the Church Bibles, if you wish to follow. So in the days before any sort of communication known to us was available, the only source of news was via occasional travellers or official messengers. And being the watchman on the wall of a city like Jerusalem must have been quite interesting. Although awaiting news is always an anxious time, isn't it? Especially if it's slow in coming. I was slightly amused at the service yesterday morning in the parish church where we were singing Mary Had a Baby Boy, and there was Claire Page sitting 10 days overdue with a very large lump, and I thought, I hope we don't get a baby boy just at the moment. But she was obviously waiting for news. But this sounds like good news in Isaiah, doesn't it? Because the running of the messenger was beautiful, and that was because it was telling of a return from exile, the return of God's people to Jerusalem. But I guess most of us probably aren't thinking this morning about the return of the Jews from Babylon, although Jerusalem, of course, has been very much in the news recently. However, the restoration described in that Old Testament text very much prefigures the restoration of mankind by Jesus. And the prophets probably spoke a deeper truth than they realized. It was only partially fulfilled in their lifetime, but it will come more fully at the second coming of Christ. So, with Isaiah's help, let's consider four questions briefly. What is the good news? How does the good news come? How do we know it's true? And what do we do with it when it has come? So first, what is the good news? The good news is what Isaiah says it is. Peace, good tidings, salvation, comfort, and your God reigns. This is exactly what Jesus brought and what he died for. And it is the good news of that birth we're celebrating today. And our passage in Isaiah really parallels Isaiah chapter 40, which speaks of God comforting his people. And there, God is bringing comfort to people whose world has been shattered. And isn't that relevant today? God is changing, even reversing their circumstances. He's making them feel valued where they were feeling worthless. And maybe that's how many people feel at this time of the year, because the emphasis so much on being happy, fulfilled, surrounded by family, tinsel, and too much food and drink. And there will be plenty not feeling that way, some of whom may not want to admit it, some of whom might even be here this morning. But there is hope in that good news. A guy called Carl Lafferton wrote an interesting book called Rescuing Christmas. And he says Christmas is all about rescue. He says, we are rescued from our rejection of God, we are rescued for relationship with God, and we are rescued by the death of God. So that all sounds like good news. And part of that, we're obviously looking forward to Easter, aren't we? Which we criticise the shops for, but we do as Christians. That's part of the good news. So how does the good news come? We've already observed that in Isaiah's time, good news came in the most basic way. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Actually, as an aside, feet are a touchy problem for me at the moment, so I don't go down that road too much. And in the story of the first Christmas, the good news, the birth of Jesus Christ, came via John the Baptist, as Isaiah had foretold, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for our Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. And angels had a significant role in bringing that good news. They appeared to Zechariah to say Elizabeth would have a son. And to Mary saying, you will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. And the angel also came to the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And the good news came to the Magi in the form of a star, which led them to the place where Jesus was born. And for us, we can be, and we will have been, led to the good news in various ways, by individuals, through Sunday school, through church services. But importantly, we need to keep hearing that good news, don't we? Through praying, studying God's word, and worshipping together like we are now. So in the context of today's society, besieged by media spin, lurid headlines, and dare I use that awful term, fake news, how do we know that this good news is true? We know it's true. We weren't around at the time, but we have eyewitness accounts. John confirms it, as we heard. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John is saying that he and others were eyewitnesses. They really saw Jesus. Jesus really lived. He really died. And he really rose from the dead. But what about all that good news that the prophet spoke about and which foreshadowed the coming of Jesus? Well, the comfort offered to Israel by God and described by Isaiah was based on reality and based on four basic truths which hold good today. They were God's people. We're God's people. They'd been forgiven. We've been forgiven. God would act. He would bring them home. He would bring us home. God's word can be relied on. It doesn't decay or fade away. It stands forever. More than that good news we looked at the beginning. And what good news is that in today's shattered world? And to us particularly, if we're feeling downhearted, discouraged, or simply unhappy. The good news is true. So what do we do with this good news? We know what we do with a box of chocolates. We eat it. What do we do with this good news? Taking for granted the need that we've to receive it, we should give thanks and praise for it. We have lots of examples. As Isaiah so graphically says, "Your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. Burst into songs of joy together." Note, lots of doing it together there. You can do it on your own, but it's great to do it together. Mary gave thanks, didn't she, through the amazing words we know as the Magnificat. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." The shepherds also returned from Jesus, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. So not only should we give thanks and praise, but we should proclaim the good news. The good news is too important to be contained. It must be shared. And this is what Isaiah is very clear in chapter 40. "You who bring good news, tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid." The humble shepherds didn't need any instructions, did they? When they had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning him. We don't literally have to go up on a high mountain, and if we did, no one would hear us anyway, even if we survived the climb to get there, which some of us probably wouldn't. We need to receive, praise and proclaim in the place where we are and where people can hear us. So, what good news are you hearing this Christmas? What message are angels or anyone else bringing to you? And what star are you following? The good news is for all mankind, but it's also individually for you and me. Will you be proclaiming the good news we're celebrating today? I just pray that we will all be open to hear and receive that good news, to praise God for it, and to proclaim it to the world. And especially that good news may reach those who find Christmas a difficult time of year for whatever reason. For we read, didn't we? "The Lord has comforted his people." Let's just think about that good news, and that we can actually show forth that good news in our lives. So just a moment's quiet to reflect on that thought before I close in prayer. Heavenly Father, in amidst the hustle and bustle of this Christmas time, may we just take time to reflect on the wonder of that first Christmas and to receive and share the good news that is the coming of your Son into the world. May we go from this church today with hearts full of joy and peace, praising and glorifying your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.